There's a lot of conversation in our culture today about raising strong young women. Mary Cassian says we need to make sure it's the right kind of strong we're focused on.
We have this, you know, girl power, the t-shirts, the I'm strong, I'm invincible, I am woman. And I think that culture is pushing girls, pushing women to be strong, but it's not always strong in the right kind of way. Strength doesn't always come in the same kind of a package. Strength looks different ways in different people, and that spiritual strength is a far different kind of strength than the strength that the world promotes.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You'll find us online at familylifetoday.com. So what exactly is the right kind of strong? How can we raise our daughters to be strong women? We're going to talk about that today with Mary Cassian. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. And I want to know if you never raised girls, you raised boys.
Yes.
If you were raising girls today, would you get a hashtag girl power t-shirt for them to wear? I mean, the whole girl power thing, it's a big deal. Is it a good thing or is it something parents should be worried about?
That's not a loaded question at all. Let's just start right there.
Way to go, Bob. Set her up.
I do like the girl power thing, but it depends on how you define that girl power.
Yeah. Well, we got somebody to help us define it. And that was, by the way, a very skillful answer to my loaded question. Mary Cassian is joining us again on Family Life Today. We were just talking about the fact that Mary was here at the very beginning of Family Life. She'd written a book called The Feminist Gospel. Mm. First time we had her here was to talk about that book. She's been here several times since then. She's a part of the Art of Marriage video series. She's an old friend. Welcome back.
Thanks. So good to be here.
And he did not mean old friend.
No, he meant long-time friend.
Yeah. Seasoned.
Yeah. Seasoned.
Mary has written a new book about girl power. It's about the right kind of strong. And it's to Ann's point, we need to teach our daughters what real strength looks like, don't we?
We do, because there's such an emphasis on women being strong in this culture. I mean, it's upheld as one of the great virtues of womanhood is that, you know, a strong woman is the kind of woman you want to be.
And speaking of strong women, you are one.
I would say so.
Yeah. Let's go back and tell us the trajectory. If you had not met Jesus.
I mean, I
thought
you were going to ask her how much she benches.
No,
I mean,
that's not
it. We are talking. Like, her book starts out about arm wrestling.
I know. It does. I was a good arm wrestler.
If you'd not met Jesus, where would you be today?
Oh, wow. If I had not met Jesus, I would probably be a ranting, raving feminist, honestly.
You were headed in that direction.
I think so. I am the only girl of an immigrant family from post-war Germany, and I have five brothers, and so growing up, I was determined to prove that I was as strong and capable as my brothers were, and I did prove myself, you know, in many different ways.
For
that
example,
I could keep up with them. I could, you know, balance and walk across a trestle. I could climb trees. I could throw a football. I could hit a baseball, and so
Mary and I would have been good friends.
Yeah.
We would have been tomboys who shook the world together.
I was an absolute tomboy, you know. There was not.
Let's find out.
He just brought
to the table.
A football, and it says
see you
Wilson.
Throw a football.
Okay,
just
here we
it
go.
Over here.
Here
let's
we
see.
Go. There
oh,
we go.
Oh, you know what?
That spiraled.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
I held it the right way. I held it the right way. I even got a little spiral on it, all 3 feet. Yeah.
You had a job. Tell us about the job you had that helped put you through college.
Well, after I finished high school, and I was quite young. I was 16 years old when I finished high school.
So you're strong and smart.
Ah, well, there you go. Good combination, don't you think?
It is.
So after high school, I started looking for a job, and I applied for a job as a night janitor at one of the local department stores. And they had never, this was kind of like back in the time when girls didn't get jobs like that.
Well, Mary, it's not all of us that are going after that job right out of high school.
Tell Mary about the job you had the summer. What
That's
were you
true.
Doing?
As a 13-year-old, I started working as a lawn maintenance person.
There you go.
Mowing 5 acres of grass and taking care of this huge property. I guess that's not typical either.
Well, and then you go on, you're working on the assembly line at the
shooting screws and dishwasher doors.
Yeah.
Hey, that sounds like a good job.
See, we'd be friends.
We would totally be friends.
The best thing is she loves to mow our yard, so it's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, wait, so you are working. Why did you choose that job?
Well, I chose that job because it made a lot of money, mm-hmm. and because it was a job that was typically reserved for men. I mean, women didn't have that job. They had never hired a female to that position. So I had some pretty smooth talking when I went in to convince them that I would be able to manage this job, because it meant I started work at 3:30 in the morning and worked, I think the shift went from 3:30 till lunch or something. And I had to handle these massive machines and these big, you know, cardboard compressors and these big floor machines. And so I convinced them to hire me probationally, and then I had to prove that I was able to do the job.
Did you have a chip on your shoulder?
I don't know if I had a chip on my shoulder. I mean, that was in the 60s when the rise of the feminist movement through the 70s. And that was, you know, after Helen Reddy's I Am Strong, I Am Invincible,
we could
I Am
hear you
Woman,
roar. Yeah.
Hear Me Roar.
Right.
And so I think most of the women in my generation, or most of the women that were my friends anyway, we all had that kind of an attitude. You know, we're going to take the world by the tail here.
And I think it's showing that we are capable.
Yeah.
We are strong. We can do this.
We can do this. Mm-hmm. We can do this. There's nothing I can't do.
So, hey, Bob, do you feel that? Do you feel what just happened in the room? I can just feel that. We could do this.
Like,
we are strong.
Like, we're done here.
It's like we're not even in here.
It's like Anne and I are just connecting
here. We're bonding right
here. We're bonding
here. So did your We Can Do This, We Are Strong, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, did that clash with your understanding of the gospel?
Not initially, because I came to know the Lord at a very young age. My parents raised me in the church, and I came to know Jesus at a young age, gave my life to Christ. So I was always committed to being a follower of Christ, and I didn't really see a disparity there, initially anyway. But then as I got older, I began to recognize that some of the things that I viewed as strength really were not strength at all. They were weaknesses, really. I was strong enough to demand my rights. I was strong enough to be, I'm strong, I'm invincible. I was strong enough to run over people, but I wasn't strong enough to have the heart of Christ in terms of just bending and being kind and even submissive for that matter.
And you met a woman along the way that kind of changed your perspective of what a strong woman looks like.
Yeah.
Tell us about her.
Her name was Pearl Purdy. And, oh, yeah. I mean, that was her name. It really was. So, Pearl. And
doesn't sound real strong.
That kind of matches the way that she looked. I mean, Pearl was probably, if she reached 5 foot, I would be surprised. She was just this little wee woman. She was old. She, you know, had dentures, and she wore really thick glasses, and it made, like, one eye look bigger than the other eye, and gray hair, you know, blue veins. You could see the veins, and she, you know, walked on these little, you know, Mary Jane shoes.
How old were you when you met her?
She was in the church that I grew up in, so I had known her, but she started to take an interest in me when I was in my later teens and started to invite me over for tea and shuffleboard.
Really?
It's an interesting combination.
That's a thing?
That is I guess it's a thing. She came from a British background, and she knew how to make the perfect pot of tea, and she taught me how to make the perfect pot of tea, and I can't even remember, but something about you have to heat the teapot before you put the, and then there's a certain order you have to put everything in. And then we'd go play shuffleboard, and we'd just hang out. And hanging out with Pearl was an experience, because she was so different than I was. She was older, and she hadn't been educated. She didn't have a college degree. I was going for my degree in rehab medicine at the time. So she didn't have all those girl power things that my generation had been infused with. And yet, as I got to know her, I saw that the strength that she had, the strength of character, the strength of spirit, was something very enviable and something that I wanted.
Why did you even want to hang out with her? I mean, I can imagine a 70-year-old asking a 17-year-old, do you want to come over for tea and shuffleboard? And you'd go, I think I have to change the air in my tires that day or something, you know?
I don't that. I think that most young people have a yearning to be noticed and to be heard. And I think when an adult other than your parent takes interest in you and takes interest in your life, an older woman, it was at least, you know, for sure there was curiosity there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this is interesting, sure.
So what did you learn from Pearl?
Well, from Pearl, I learned that strength doesn't always come in the same kind of a package, that strength looks different ways in different people, and that spiritual strength is a far different kind of strength than the strength that the world promotes. I mean, we have this, you know, girl power, the T-shirts, the I'm strong, I'm invincible, I am woman. And I think that culture is pushing girls, pushing women to be strong, but it's not always strong in the right kind of way.
I had a very similar experience. I went to a nursing home. I was 19 years old. Dave and I had just gotten married, so I was young in my faith, too. And Dave's mom suggested, she made an appointment, actually, that I meet with this woman. She was in her 90s. Mm. And I went into this nursing home thinking, what am I doing? Like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. And all the things that I thought were valuable at that time were having a strong voice, mm-hmm. having a strong faith. That was important to me. Family was really important to me. As a woman, I felt the pressure of the outward beauty. Kind of, all of that was going on. So I walk into this nursing home, and this woman is in her bed. She can't get out of bed. She has to be in a wheelchair. So she wasn't mobile at all. As I started talking to her, she said, I've lost most of my kids. My husband's been gone for years. Mm-hmm. My family's gone. And I remember asking her, what's your purpose right now of life? And she had this radiant joy about her that I was amazed at. I'm thinking, you can't walk. Your beauty is gone. Your family is gone. You really can't do anything. And she took my hand and she squeezed it and she said, oh, honey, my Jesus has me here every day for a reason. Mm-hmm. So when my eyes open up and I wake up, I think, I'm here again? Lord, you must have something for me. Mm-hmm. And she said, you walked in today. And I thought, this is who I'm here for today. Mm-hmm. And I was astounded.
Well, it's bringing tears to your eyes even now.
Because my identity was all about in what I looked like, what I did, mm-hmm. what I was saying. And this woman, her total identity and purpose in life was to serve and love Jesus. I had never seen anything like it before. But just that one encounter had a great impact. Just as Pearl, you had many encounters and it really had an impact on you.
Absolutely. And I think when we see it, as women, when we see that, when we see true strength, when we see the kind of strength that knowing the Lord infuses into a woman's spirit, it is a strength that is of a far different quality. And I think that's why the Bible talks about be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Being strong in the Lord is a different kind of strength because I'm not relying on my own strength and I'm not relying on me. Because the world teaches us as women, rely on yourselves, you are strong, you know, be strong, proclaim your rights.
And push for your
rights. Push for your rights. Yeah, push over people.
Yeah, even in meetings, I remember being like, I have to say something. I need to lead.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Be a leader. For heaven's sakes, don't ever let a man tell you what to do. I mean, that's the message that we get as women in this culture. And yet the message of strength in Scripture is so very different because Scripture teaches that any woman who relies on her own strength is a weak woman. Mm. And any woman, weak or strong, who relies on the strength of the Lord is strong and is a strong woman.
So let's talk about that. I want to know what you ladies have to say about the right kind of strength for a woman. Obviously, that's the title of your book. But here's my question. How is it different than strength for a man?
I think that we are different as male and female. And so strength perhaps looks different. I think the path to strength is the same. The path to strength is through submitting our lives to Christ and following His ways. But I think that as we do that, God makes us more of who we really are. So I can testify to this, I'm sure Anne can as well, that as we begin to embrace God's strength for us, we begin to see who we are and we begin to flourish as who we are. So, you know, that tomboy girl who was growing up all of a sudden learned more and more about who she was as a woman and then, you know, was able to step into marriage and then learn who to be as a wife and who to be as a mother. and how to be strong as a mother, how to be strong as a wife, how to be strong as a woman. So the path to getting there is submission to Christ and taking on the strength of the Lord. But I think what he does in our spirits is he just brings out more of who we are. Mm. So if I am a woman, he's going to start bringing more of that out.
We tend to think of strength in culturally defined terms. Mm-hmm. The Bible points us to a different kind of strength. I remember reading an illustration years ago, Tom Skinner. You remember the name Tom Skinner?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Tom was a chaplain for the Washington Redskins for years, was an African-American, got saved out of the projects in New York. And Tom used an illustration. He said an airplane pilot has the skill and the ability to take this massive multi-ton piece of equipment. He can get it going faster than an automobile down a runway. He can lift it into the sky. He can fly it across the country. He can land it on a thin strip of concrete 3,000 miles away. He knows how to do all of that. He can keep that plane under his control during that time, he said, but he can walk off the plane and somebody says the wrong thing to him and he'll take a swing at him because he can't control himself. Mm-hmm. He can control the plane, but he can't control himself. The right kind of strength is the strength not just to arm wrestle somebody. It's the strength to know when to keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. It's the strength to know when to pull back and not engage. Mm-hmm. It's a strength under control. The Bible calls it meekness. Mm-hmm. We think meekness is to be demure and over in the corner and you never show any strength. No, Jesus was meek, which meant he had the power to call legions of angels. And he said, but that's not what's appropriate in this moment.
That's right. And so learning how to walk in the strength of the Lord is learning how to respond appropriately given whatever situation that you're in. So being a strong woman means sometimes, yeah, keeping your mouth shut and not responding in kind. It's responding, giving good instead of evil in response to evil.
To Dave's question, though, is it different for us? Should we be strong in a different way as men than women should be, do you think?
I think so. I think that Scripture clearly teaches that strength in a man shows up in terms of just a protective oversight and in terms of just guiding his family, being the head of the home and the rock for the kids and the hero for his wife and for his kids. And I think that that's a different texture to it. Certainly, strength in a woman is just as important. It's vitally important, in fact. But Scripture teaches that strength in a woman is a strength that is knows how to respond in the right way, that is open to direction and is open to joining in with the direction of the whole family and in pulling the same direction as her husband. Strength in a woman is a nurturing strength. Strength in a woman is a compassionate and it's a mothering strength. Even if you don't have children, it's a strength that is nurturing and caring for people. Now, obviously, men and women, there's a lot of overlap and we're all called to do all those things. Yeah. And yet I think the texture of it is different given if you're a male or a female. Yeah,
these are not exclusive categories.
Right. That's right.
Men no. Men can nurture and women can lead.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But they are characteristic categories if they're not exclusive categories. And to try to deny the characteristic nature of them is to try to blur the lines. There's a reason why I have more testosterone in my body than you have in your body. There's
That's
a reason
right.
why you have more estrogen in your body than I have in mine. That's by God's design, and it's there with an intent and a purpose, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you said, too. It's living out our identity and how God has created us and made us. I also think women can be sometimes more competitive than men. And I know that I used to be in meetings thinking, oh, I need to push forward. And there was a part of me that was so competitive, even with women, that I wouldn't lift another woman up mm-hmm. because of my insecurity, really, and my competitiveness. And I think a strong woman learns how to lift others up. Mm-hmm. As we understand who we are in Christ, we start seeing the beauty in each other, and we mm-hmm. start complimenting and drawing out the greatness in each other, not only women, but kids and our husbands, of not having to one up, but let me lift you up. There's a strength in that.
So when you see the rush over the last 10 years, every Disney movie I can think of has been mm-hmm. about strong girls.
In Marvel. Mm-hmm.
Marvel has expanded the cinematic universe to make sure that the women can take the guys out just as easily.
Well, I was actually on the plane watching Toy Story, mm-hmm. and little Bo Peep has shed her little skirt and is now like has a super cape, and little porcelain Bo Peep is like conquering the universe.
So is that a net good thing for parents raising daughters today, or is that problematic?
It teaches our young girls that they're on the same playing surface as the guys, and that they can compete with the men in every possible way, so that they are as physically strong. It's not true. Yeah, right. They are not as physically strong.
Because average guys can outrun women in, and we're seeing that. So guys who identify now as women come into women's sports and beat them, and we go, this isn't fair.
It's the end of women's sports, really, is what we're seeing, is because the guys will do better at it, because God created their bodies differently. Mm-hmm. And I think when we deny that, when we give women this image and give our young girls this image that we're just the same, we are setting them up for failure. We're setting them up for failure in life, and we're setting them up for failure in relationships especially. Because they will go into a relationship thinking, I'm just like one of the guys. I'm going to interact with this guy like one of the guys, and I'm going to take charge of the relationship, and I'm going to tell him what to do, and I'm going to wrestle with him when he doesn't agree with me. And it just does not work well. So what I am seeing is women who have been raised in that culture and who even go into marriage with that, and then years down the road, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's just not working. The relationship hits up against the wall, and they're struggling with what God's directives are in terms of marriage. They don't know how to relate in what the Bible identifies as a womanly way.
And that's exactly what I did in our marriage. I almost destroyed it because I watched my mom thinking, she's so submissive. She's a doormat. My dad tells her everything. She's okay, I'll do it. And the way she served, I thought, oh my goodness, he's just taking advantage of everything. And I thought to myself, I will never be like that. Mm. And so I come into
our— And she wasn't. I'll just tell you.
I came into our marriage with a voice, with I'm going to be strong. You will not walk all over me. I'm going to tell you what to do. And let me tell you, that had devastating effects on Dave, because he's a strong leader too, and so we would butt heads, and I would critique him, I would continually nag him, thinking, you know, I'm doing it well, why aren't you? It really has a terrible effect on men when we treat them as our sons and that we know better. Mm-hmm. It was devastating to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we got through it. We're on year 40 now, but I wanted a strong woman. You know, that's one of the things that attracted me to Anne. She was a strong leader woman, and yet then in our marriage, it crushed me. You know, and so I think it comes back to the right kind of strong.
The right kind of strong. So here, I have a question. This raises a question in my mind for you, Anne, because this is an important question I think that a lot of the women who are listening will be asking themselves. It's like, do I need to become weak in order to have a good marriage? So here's my question for you. Do you feel that you have given up strength, or do you feel that you have gained strength in terms of just doing life and womanhood and marriage the way that God says?
It's the title of your book. It's a different kind of strong, because I realize it took more strength to go to God first, to say, God, should I say this? God, should I say anything? God, what is my heart and what's behind my actions of trying to be so strong? And as I would go before the Father, he would celebrate my strength, but he would direct it into a different way, a different response, a different kind of love. And I realized my strength was coming out of insecurity instead of my strength coming out of who I was in him.
You would say you have more power and influence in life and in your marriage today than you did when you were trying to tell Dave what to do.
Absolutely, because words of love and life have a greater effect on the people around us than words of critique and criticism.
And I would just add this, and this is what, Mary, your book's all about, and we'll talk more about it, but I think my wife is stronger than she ever was when we first got married, and it's all because of what you said earlier, Mary. Her strength comes from the Lord. Mm-hmm. There's a submission to Jesus, a surrender to Jesus that is not weakness. It's the opposite. It's almost like when Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You think when you empty yourself, you're going to lose everything, and yet you're filled up with power
the
and
fear
strength.
Is you'll lose yourself.
Right. It's such a paradox.
Uh-huh.
It is such a paradox that in laying it down, we gain it. And I think that nowhere do we see that more than in terms of women's strength. And I have women all the time telling me, you know, I was so afraid. And yet when I surrendered to Jesus and when I began to do life his way and when I began to do womanhood his way, I truly became who I am. And I became stronger than ever before.
2 Corinthians 12, Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, asked God to remove it. God says no. And he says, in your weakness, I'll be made strong. And so Paul says, I rejoice in that weakness because the power of Christ strengthens me in that. And I think that's applicable for all of us, certainly applicable for what you're talking about in this book, The Right Kind of Strong, which is a book that we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can go online at familylifetoday.com to order a copy of Mary's book. Again, it's called The Right Kind of Strong by Mary Cassian. Go to familylifetoday.com to order. Or you can order by calling 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, here at Family Life, we would hope that moms in particular would be having conversations with their daughters about growing up to be strong women. And over the years, we've tried to develop tools and resources to help facilitate that. One of the most popular resources we've ever put together is something called Passport to Purity. It's a weekend getaway for a mom and a daughter, or for a father and a son, where you would get away together before adolescence arrives in the, you know, the years 9, 10, 11, 12, and talk about the changes that are coming. Talk about dating and sexuality and those kinds of issues with your daughter. The whole idea of the weekend is for the two of you to begin a conversation that's going to continue throughout the teen years. And we've talked to thousands of parents who have taken their kids on one of these Passport to Purity weekends. We feel so strongly about how important something like this is that right now we want to make available the Passport to Purity kit, which gives you everything you need for the weekend, the audio you listen to, the workbooks you go through together, instructions on how to execute it as a parent. We want to make that kit available along with a copy of a book by Vicki Courtney called Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter or Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Son. You can decide which of those books you would like to go with your Passport to Purity weekend. We're making that available when you make a donation to help support this ministry. Because we think this is so critical, we're asking if you can make a donation to help continue the outreach, expand the outreach of Family Life Today. We'd love to make these resources available to you, both the book by Vicki Courtney and the Passport to Purity kit. Go to familylifetoday.com to make an online donation or call 1-800-FL-TODAY and be sure to request your Passport to Purity kit along with either of the two books by Vicki Courtney about conversations with daughters or conversations with sons. And then plan a time this spring or this summer when you and your preteen can get away for a weekend to talk about what really matters and help get them ready for their adolescent years. Again, donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. Now, tomorrow we're going to continue the conversation about what it means to be a strong woman. Mary Cassian's going to talk about how easy it is for strength to erode from our lives. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Hope you can be with us. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.